Why are things the way they are? Why can't I just do this? Why can't I just do that? Or why would God allow that particular circumstance to happen in my life today? So why, basically, is one of the most profound, it's just three letters, but it's profound, and practical questions a person can consider. Are we and our world under any control? Is anyone in charge? Is God sovereign, you think? The Bible answers, and the Bible says, yes. So what does it mean that the Bible teaches that God is sovereign? God is doing something actively in our lives, even if we're concerned on just the things that we know of, or like we have concern of, in our pretty little worlds. It means that God alone determines all that will happen and rules how everything will happen. It may be in our lives directly, it may be on others' lives, it may be on other nations, other big decisions of the government. This means that he is never surprised. He is never frustrated. He never wonders. And he never looks back with regret. He is never waiting. And he never feels helpless. So if we feel that way, if we sometimes feel helpless, we can know God is never helpless. Amen. Before I move on, I wanted to pray. As we open this message, Lord, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your love, Father God, that's flown to the earth, Father God, to each one of us, Father God. Thank you for your concern. Thank you for your control for our lives, Father God. Not in a way that oversteps our will, Father God. You always give us our leeway, Father God. You always give us a way so that we can do our own wills, Father God. But you are in control of our lives. Thank you, Father. As we open this message today, may you be glorified and may you be praised. May you be lifted up in our lives as we learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As we move on, it says here, God is never forced to do something. What do you think that means? God is never forced to do anything. So there is no authority over him. When he first created the world, no one told him, oh, maybe you should create the world. No. He just said, oh, let there be light. He just started there. He does what he pleases. He just does what he wants. He decides whatever he wants. And he acts as he desires. So to say God is sovereign is simply to say that he is God and there is no one like him. Who reads books here? So I know the British mostly read books. I'm also a bookworm, even back in the Philippines. And you know that there are several novel authors who loves to create like fictional stories or things like that they can control the outcome of. They invent a story, they invent an event, they make a plot, and then they control the narrative, right? So they know what will happen up to the end of their book. I heard an interview with one of the authors of the books that I read, and he said that even before writing the first book of his five part series, he knows what the end will be. So he knows what he planned to do up to the end of the book or even the series. God has control of everything in our lives. Maybe similar in that way. He knows the ending. He knows what will come to pass. on every aspect of our lives. We may say, oh, there might be different decisions. There might be different branches of my life. Maybe I decide this. Maybe I decide that. How will that? How will God know? Yes, God knows. There are two aspects of God's sovereignty. Number one, His decrees. And number two, His providence. So we will go first on the first one, His decrees. A decree, from a dictionary, it says here the meaning, a decree is a decision made by an authority, right? According to God's own will and for His own glory, He decrees what will happen. God has decided everything that will come to pass. He has done it already. We may not be able to wrap around it, our minds around it, because we're only limited by our knowledge of our English lessons, like past, present, future, past participle, future, whatever that is. We're only wrapped in our knowledge of those little things. But God is on top of time, and He knows all about this, because He is infinite. Infinite in power, infinite in wisdom. We've just been lent some when we ask of Him. His decrees are eternal, and they are unchangeable. What God has decreed to happen will definitely happen. So that's what we're looking at, God's decrees. Next, we're looking at God's providence. Yet God just doesn't give a decree, and then He sits passively and wait for things to go to happen. No, He is an active participant in His world. He is an active participant in our world, in whatever we do. We can still pray to the Lord. We can still ask Him. He can still comfort us. He can still guide us. He can still direct us. He can still sometimes tap us to the right direction that He wants us to go. He governs, He sustains, He affects, and He controls. I want us to see the picture of control in a way that it is not always overstepping whatever we want to do, because that's what we see about control, right? Our idea of control in this world is, if I have control, then only I have control. No one else does, right? So, but God's control is in a way that He wanted you to go. Like, He directs you there. God is in constant contact with the universe, with the earth, with the stars, with the sun, with you personally, with the nations, with everything that's happening on the earth. He's governing everything, from the biggest things all the way to the smallest things that we can imagine, like an atom, or whatever science has discovered, or whatever they will discover in the future. Maybe there's a smaller version of it more that the scientists will discover. God has control over all of those things. That is God's providence. So, God is sovereign. God is definitely sovereign. He decrees what will be and rules what He has made. So isn't it encouraging to know that the world is not out of control? It is always in control. It is in God's control. No matter how chaotic or confusing events happening around the world may seem, we know as Christians, God is in control. He is in control of everything that's happening in the world. But what about looking at us? What do we do? What do we want to do? Are we out of control now if we say God is in control? Much of our regular anxiety or feelings of fear or discouragement is mostly because we are thinking that things are becoming out of our control. So I fear this will happen because I don't have control of it. But what we're really struggling with is this. Let me tell you this. things really are out of your control. Definitely, it's not on your control. Let me put it this way. So imagine there's a piece of paper. Okay, I don't have the props with me, but imagine a piece of paper, and I will draw two circles there, one small circle and another one bigger outside. Okay, so two small circles. The inner circle is what we will call the circle of responsibility. Okay, so the inner small circle is the circle of responsibility. And then there's a bigger circle we'll now call the circle of concern. Okay? So living as God has called you or me requires knowing which things will fit into which part of the circle. The small one, the circle of responsibility, or the circle of concern. So the circle of responsibility represents things that has called me to do, called you to do. Those are the things that God wanted you to do in your life. He's directing you to that. That's your circle of responsibility. These are your daily God-ordained duties. These are what God is putting in your life every day, or maybe in a week or in a month. Or God has put that word in your heart for the year. But many other things grab our attention in life, not just our responsibilities. This relies heavily on my heart, on what I feel as a human, as a person. What do I feel? These things do not fit in the inner circle. Instead, they are on the outside circle. What do we call it again? Concern. These are the things that we have concern. So, like, okay, what will happen to my family when we move to the UK? What will happen to the bills? What should I do? So, what happens to my school? Things like that. Those things that are of my concern. But the thing is, I can't do something about it directly sometimes. So the only proper way to respond to these concerns is to entrust them to the Lord. So two circles. One is the circle of responsibility, which God wanted you to act on, to do something. And then there's a circle of concern, which we see on our surroundings, which we can just surrender to the Lord. God has governed us. We've learned earlier. He has control over everything. Right? So, He has given us control on that one little thing, the circle of responsibility. The outside one is just our concern, but it's not out of our control. But it's out of our control. Some will say, okay, there's an outside circle more. Outside the bigger circle, there's an outside circle. Yes, those are the things that you don't know of. So definitely, you don't have a concern about it. But you know, God is in control with those too. God is in control on the things that are happening on the earth. For example, we live in a world where there is no social media. So we're stuck here in the UK. So we don't know what's happening probably in Iran, for example. We don't know about it, but God is in control. It's just that right now, you put it in your circle of concern because why? You've heard about it. You know about it. And then you got confused, you got afraid. But what can we do? As I've said, we put it to the hands of the person who has the control in our lives. We put it to God. God hasn't just given us a set of responsibilities. He has also pulled back the curtain of heavens to reveal to us His sovereign throne, His design, His what He plans to do in the earth. That's the outer circle. He's revealing to us that there are things that we cannot do, but we can see and affect us. like our friend. Oh, I can't change my friend. Why can't I change my friend? Of course, it's not you. You can't change your friend. But he's always your concern, because God has given you that particular friend. It's part of his sovereign plan for you to be not alone, but part of a relationship. But he is control of your friend. You can know that. He has done this for two reasons. First, he wants us to be good stewards of the few things he has placed unto our control, the circle of responsibility. Second, he wants us to rest in knowing that the things that are out of our control, but in the circle of our concern, rests under his sovereign control. That's the reason why we looked at God's power, God's sovereignty first. Because in seeing that, we can see that, yeah, I can give up these things. I cannot, not care, but give it to God. Give those concerns to God. Because I can't do anything about it, really. The question for us is, do we have a clear understanding in our lives of the things that God has called us to do? Those things that are in our inner circle. Or do you understand which things he welcomes us to trust in him? The outer circle. Or we sometimes mix them up. We sometimes pour in those that are in the outer circle to the inner circle. That's what we're leading now. Because why? As in our flesh, we all want to be sovereign. We all want to be in control of everything in our surroundings. Okay, let me give an example. I'm driving now, so I know this. Why do we drivers get angry when someone cuts you in front? Right? Yeah. Why are vacations sometimes disappointing and not as fun as we had planned or had hoped? Ah, this doesn't happen good. Why do we hate waiting in line at the grocery store, for example? Someone beat us to the till. And why are we not always patient with our family members or friends? Because we wanted to. Deep in our hearts, we desire a world that we are sovereign. We desire a world that things can happen if we want it to happen. Oh, if I'm thinking like that, if I'm in control, that should have happened. Because you did it, that happened. So see, we wanted us to be in control. Let's look at the story. Remember the story of Adam and Eve, right? That's a very, very old story. But the horrible lie of the serpent is based on a thing that's planted in Eve's mind. He's saying, oh, you will be in control. Something like that. He will say, oh, if you eat this, if you eat the fruit of this tree, you will know good and evil. I'm giving you control. Right? The serpent is trying to trick Eve so that she will know that he can be in control. And the rest is history. We failed. Human failed. Why? Because in our deepest, deepest hearts, we wanted to be in control of our tiny little things. Because if we don't, we think, I wanted to be early at work, so I have to do this. I have to grab this particular train. The train needs to arrive this particular time, and I need to buy this particular ticket. So you planned everything. But sometimes it never happens. Where does the desire to be sovereign rear its ugly head in our life? When? When does it happen? Maybe we could benefit with this simple prayer. As we said, Lord, I confess, I often desire to have rule over people, rule over other people's lives, and things that are not in my control, but under your control. May you give me grace today, Lord, to resist those desires and to entrust my life to you, my concerns to you, those things that is not my responsibility, I give to you. I confess my sin against you and to others, and I rest in your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. If we have humble hearts, we have huge harvests. It is humbling to realize the limits of our sovereignty. As you can see in my, you can hear in my picture earlier, we have a small circle of responsibility. If we just learn what is actually there, we will have an easier, not an easier life, but anyway, we know how we live. We don't get bothered by the concerns in our life if we know what this little circle just have. Let's be honest, there are very few things that we can control. Even me, sometimes, just now, I totally forgot the church keys at home, so I can't lock the church door. I can't control it. I can't control that I always bring it. My phone, sometimes I forgot my phone. So we don't have control over our phones as well. And my earbuds, the earbuds I use, sometimes I lose it, I can't find it. I don't have control over it. We are sometimes not in control even of the little things. It can be very humbling if we can see God's sovereign control compared to our little tiny control on our lives. God's sovereignty should humble us. Let's read from James chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. It says here, James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. That's the same version. Okay. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. That's James. The Apostle James, he realized that whatever things that are of my concern today, that God has not given me responsibility of, is in God's control. It's just to God. It's just for him. I don't have control over tomorrow. No, it will still come, even if I don't want to sleep. even if I don't sleep, tomorrow will come. Even if I try to stop it, tomorrow will come. So see, we don't have control. We don't have to try and think of those things. Because we sometimes think, oh, if I overthink this, I can find a solution somehow. Maybe. But it's not possible. It is tempting to act as if we are in more control than we actually are. Right? So it's very tempting. It's very tempting to take credit for things that you could have never produced on your own. What are those things? For example, you've graduated in high school or college or university on a degree. And sometimes we take credit for it because we see, oh, it's my willingness to study. It's my passion for this subject. But God has done everything that is outside in your concern there. It is tempting to think that we can make life work according to our plan, even if we can't. It is tempting to be proud of ourselves in places where we should instead be praising God, because he's the one who did it, not us. Not my thinking, not my overthinking, maybe not my wisdom, but God's wisdom. The fact is, we have no idea, as I've said earlier, we have no idea what tomorrow will bring because we don't plan or control tomorrow. But you know who does? God alone does. And He's sovereign, as we learned earlier. He's sovereignly in control. Ah, what will happen to me tomorrow? I have this problem today. I've been carrying it for quite some time now. Months, years. No one's given me a solution. My friend doesn't know what the solution is. My parents doesn't know what the solution is. Maybe I can give a solution to this. Only I can, because this is my life. But these are the things that in my circle of concern, God is telling me now, put it in me, son. Put it in me. Give me back control of those concerns. And I will let you rest in me. Here is the point. The sovereignty of God is deeply humbling, and this is good because a humble heart is a worshiping heart. We worship God because we have a humble heart if we acknowledge that we can't control these things, of those things that we are just concerned. A humble heart is a grateful heart. We become thankful because we realize, oh, this is not my doing. God has done this. God has did this to my life. God has planned this from the start. So we are grateful. A humble heart is an obedient heart. Why obedient? Because you now learn that this circle of responsibility is what you should be focusing your attention on. What God is teaching you to do is what you should be doing. So you become obedient to His word. You become obedient to His calling. A humble heart is a loving and serving heart. We come to love the Lord, we come to serve the Lord because we know now that He is definitely supreme and sovereign in our life. He's definitely in control and we will serve Him. The sovereignty of God carried in your heart will produce a harvest of good fruit in your life, in my life. Because then, I don't force things. I just do them for the Lord. I just give all those cares that God has taken from me to Him and to Him alone. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these things that you've taught us. Father God, thank you for the circle of responsibility that you have put in our lives. Oh, Father, we pray. Father God, teach us how to move in this circle. Father God, to do the things that you want us to do, you planned us to do. Father God, and Lord, we surrender the things that are outside of our control in our circle of concern to you alone, O Jesus. Our friends, our family, things in our lives that keep on happening, things that we are bothered about, things that we fear, things that we see in the news, Father God, we just give them to you, Father God. Lord, we don't want to be more concerned about it than we already are, Father God. We just wanted you to take control of it, Father God, in our lives for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.